This is Sports Talk from AM 870 WKAR.
This program content is made possible in part by WKAR listeners.
AM 870 WKAR Sports Talk is the show, and I'm Russ White.
And I'm Kirk Heinze.
And we're happy to be sitting in today. Thank you, Gary Reed and Peter Worf, for the hospitality, inviting us in, and we're in the capable hands of Aaron Young, so we know we'll have fun talking sports this week, Kirk.
You know, Russ, we talk a lot of sports when we're doing Greening of the Great Lakes, but now we get to do it on a radio show.
Let's just not bore people, but a quick second, why we're here and why we're together. We work on a radio show broadly focused on sustainability called Greening of the Great Lakes, heard among other places here on WKAR. That's why we're together. We already work together.
Yeah, we're a great team, and we've been doing Greening the Great Lakes for 4 years, and we've been doing sports talk radio for about 2 minutes now.
So why don't you just, in a nutshell, summarize what Greening of the Great Lakes is for people?
Well, on Greening of the Great Lakes, which is a weekly radio show, we look at sustainability issues, triple bottom line, economic, environmental, and social sustainability. Everything from global warming to invasive species in the Great Lakes to electric vehicles and all sorts of related issues. But the focus is on sustainability. And the format is educational, and it was the brainstorm of MSU President Luana Simon.
That's right, and you can hear some of the segments here on AM 870 Sunday afternoon between 4 and 5 on the MSU Today program. GreeningOfTheGreatLakes.com is a place for more information, as is MLive.com/environment. But sports is why we're here, Kirk. So there's this little basketball tournament. What are your impressions of the bracket so far?
Well, like a lot of commentators, Russ, I thought that Midwest bracket was brutal, particularly at the top of the bracket. And the odd thing, people are talking about Duke and Louisville and Michigan State, but not too many folks are talking about St. Louis, and Missouri's in that bracket as well. It's going to be a very difficult bracket, and the Spartans are going to have to get to the Final Four this year. They're going to have to go through the best teams in America.
But wow, how electric is the Palace of Auburn Hills going to be with both the Spartans and Wolverines there Thursday? Just amazing for the state of Michigan.
Absolutely, and you remember back in 2000, the Palace was very good to the Spartans. I was at both of those games, Syracuse and Iowa State, two of the best basketball games I have ever seen in my life. Spartans were down by 14 against Syracuse with about 15 minutes to go, and I think we won by 12 or 14 because Mo Pete and A.J. Granger just went crazy.
Well, and I heard Joe Rexroad on Current State just before us on the noon hour with Mark Bayshore talk about there's some weird similarities. I guess we started with Valpo in 2000 maybe, and of course the Palace was involved. There were a couple of other similarities, but man, who knows? This could be a fun year. And most analysts say, I'm going to ask Steve when we get him on the phone, and Steve, you're joining us. Are you there, sir? What's that? Line 7. Here we go.
Hello?
There you are, Steve. I'm just getting the control button down there, but welcome to the show.
Ross, Kirk, how's everybody doing today?
Hey, Steve, great. We're doing fine. We're all fired up for March Madness, and it was great to see you last Friday down at the Detroit Athletic Club.
Always a great time, Kirk. I'll tell you what, you get that many politicians in a relatively small area without a major fracas, and that's a step in the right direction.
That's true, but it'll be a nice change of pace to talk sports today instead of politics, right, Steve?
Always.
Well, Steve,
always,
Steve, the word you were using with Paul W. this morning was parity, and there really are, a dozen or more teams that legitimately could win this. What are your impressions of the bracket today?
Well, you know, talking with Tom Izzo on our Monday morning visit today, Russ, you know, he's been around a while, 18 years there in East Lansing, and, you know, so many are using that parity word, and more so, I think, than any other year past. When was the last time the NCAA tournament came around? And so many, both locally and nationally, are saying, look, this is a year we could see a 16 knock off a 1. You know, I know there's always a lot of concentration on the number one seeds. This year in particular, Gonzaga, there's so many that would have liked to have seen Duke or Miami have that number one seed as opposed to the Bulldogs, because quite honestly, they really haven't played anybody. When you take a look at their strength of schedule, they're 97th in the country. But then on the other hand, they're 16-0 on the road. So any school, no matter what conference you're coming out of, that's able to go 16-0 away from home you know, they're doing something something right. And certainly, you know, being the top team in the country doesn't hurt either. I think Michigan State's road is very tough. The Midwest region, when you've got Louisville, a number one, the number one seed altogether, followed by Duke, you know, that's a pretty tough deal to get out of. But it's interesting already nationally how many are looking at a Michigan State-Duke Sweet 16 matchup, and I think Michigan State would fare very well there.
You know, Steve, isn't it interesting? Typically when the selection committee convenes and they announce the results, there's a lot of controversy at the bottom of the brackets. First four out, last four in, that type of thing. This year the controversy is at the top of the brackets.
Well, you know, Kirk, it's crazy. And again, talking to Tom this morning, you know, as a coach at a very elite level, you know, I asked him if, you know, after the 68-team field comes out, does he get on the horn and talk to his contemporaries about the way it all shook out? He basically said, look, it is what it is. You can sit here and debate it for the next 2 months. Somebody got slighted. You know, look at the Kentucky, the defending national champions. They're on their way to the NIT. Many thought Tennessee had every right to be in. Meanwhile, you get a school like Liberty, and God bless them. I'm sure everybody there is excited, but they're in the dance, and they've lost 20 games. So, you know, the system is what it is. You win your conference championship, you get the automatic bid. We all know how it works. But then when it all dust settles, you still have to win six games to cut down the net. No matter what you're seated, no matter where you are, what region, you still need six wins to cut down the net.
WJR's Steve Courtney visiting with Kirk Heinze and Russ White here on AM 870 WKAR. Steve, how electric is that Palace going to be Thursday and hopefully again Saturday? I mean, what a buzz there will be out there Thursday.
Well, you know, Russ, it couldn't have worked out better because the Palace clearly is still one of the great venues in the country. It's been around a while. It is so well maintained. They've been through this before. And they're going to have it set up beautifully. And, you know, for Michigan State and for Michigan to go in there, you know, the fans don't have to travel far. It's going to be an awesome, awesome experience. And, you know, you get going there. And let's face it, you know, our Spartans, you kind of look back and see what could have been. You know, very close losses to Indiana, Ohio State, this Michigan ball club. What we witnessed in the Big Ten tournament with the loss to Ohio State, victory has been within their hands, but for some reason along the way, they're just not able to make that play when they need it. And I think the play on Saturday that was kind of a microcosm of the Spartan season was the inbound from Adrian Payne to Keith Applin. Mm-hmm. I mean, the ball just kind of rolled, remember?
Yep.
Ohio State picks it up. It's like you're sitting there watching saying, what's going on here? It didn't cost the Spartans, but it just goes to show you what has happened to this team at very pivotal points. And, of course, the flagrant foul, you know, didn't help. If this team comes together and now they're out of the Big Ten grind, and we all know the ability that Tom Izzo has to get a team ready for the dance, watch out for this State team.
Yeah, one thing Tom said, Steve, was that we're filing away the rough edges. We've got to be more disciplined. We've got to have a little bit more focus in the last 2 minutes at closing time. Because earlier in the year, you recall, against Wisconsin, Ohio State, et cetera, we won those close ones. But in the last few weeks or so, we as you mentioned, we lost several in the last minute or two, which could have gone either way. Got to get those small things corrected.
But don't you both think, too, that when all these Big Ten teams are going to fare well, I think because they aren't playing each other anymore, I wouldn't be surprised if they all get to the Sweet 16. You know what I mean?
Well, you know what? It's a good point there, Russ, and duly noted, because, you know, here's a conference that literally beat each other up since, well, in Michigan State's case, New Year's Eve Day when they opened the thing up against Minnesota. You know, I don't think Tom Izzo or John Beilein or Bo Ryan or you name a coach in the Big Ten really understood the magnitude of what this conference schedule was going to be this year. And you come out of it with some bumps and some bruises, and it should fare well for the tournament. Meanwhile, you know, you look at a team like Valpo, or name a team that's in the field right now. You got to take care of the basketball. These teams are in the dance for a reason. They certainly don't need any help. And if Michigan State can cut down on the turnovers and the shot selection, my goodness, how many times later in the year did we see shots being forced up. And I know Keith was struggling towards the end of the year. He is a very talented player. There's no question about it. But sometimes he was pushing it. If this team, and you center around the energy of Adrian Payne, you talk about a kid that's been playing lights out for the last six, seven ball games. I mean, you bottle that and give a little sip to everybody on this team, Michigan State should be in great shape. But the thing is, we can sit here, again, from now till a week from Sunday, talking about what the Spartans need to do. Don't think for a second they don't understand that. It's a matter of going out and executing.
Hey, Steve, you mentioned lights out. Let's switch over to a special passion of mine. Not that the Spartans aren't a passion, but I've been a Detroit Tiger fan since I was 5 years old. Last time I was at Comerica, the lights literally went out in Game 4 when I watched the San Francisco Giants celebrating on that hill while the Tigers trundled off to the dugout. What are you thinking, man? Are we going to get back to the World Series this year, and are we going to make it happen? We certainly are loaded.
Well, they are a loaded ball club, Kirk, and I'll tell you, I think one of the great things that's going right now in spring training is you've got one spot open in the rotation, and obviously it's between Rick Porcello and Drew Smyly. Smyly has been hit hard his last couple of outings. Meanwhile, Porcello has been going out and doing what he needs to do to make a spot on his ball club. The general consensus is the Tigers would welcome trades for Rick Porcello, but now what do you do? Your closer, Bruce Rondon, I don't think he's going to be ready for prime time. Now what do? Do you go closer by committee? Do you throw Phil Koch into the mix? You've got some other possibilities. But, you know, from an offensive standpoint, this team should be able to score runs. You know what the big deal is here? It's the return of Victor Martinez. They missed him so much, in particular, through the middle of last year. Nobody is better with getting runs in with two outs. He's made a career of it. He's a professional hitter, and he just adds so much to that clubhouse. But you take a look at this with the addition of Torrey Hunter, who's starting to come around at the plate down in spring training. You know, this is going to be a full ball club. There's no question about it. But you look at what the Blue Jays have done, what the Angels have done. Inside the division, I can't see anybody really keeping up with the Tigers at this point.
No, I can't either. You mentioned Victor Martinez, and Steve, you know this, and Russ knows this, but a lot of folks may not, not only on the field. You know, he's going to provide some nice protection for fielder, but he's a leader in the clubhouse as well. And there were times last year when that leadership was in question.
Well, you know, it was one of those deals, I think, to whom a lot is given, a lot is expected. And, you know, if you're a professional ball club, if you're an NFL team, a college basketball team, whatever the case may be, when you are looked at as being the chosen group, there's a lot of pressure that goes along with that. And I think the Tigers kind of stumbled on that a little bit. You bring in Prince Fielder and everything that that represents. You know, even though Victor was out of the lineup last year, you know, they had a hard time manufacturing runs. As a matter of fact, they were pretty much a 500 ball club or below up until the All-Star break. And then you look and see what they did in the month of September to catapult themselves into the postseason. I don't think it's going to be, you know, that close this year. I just don't think that anybody in the Central, you know, is going to be able to keep up with this ball club. You look at the starting rotation, I still say you've got to come up with a legitimate closer, and you've got to have a mindset for that. I know Rondon throws very, very hard. I've talked to the likes of Lynn Henning about this kid. You know, he comes with a great pedigree. But you know what it's like. I mean, you come in there in a major league setting, you know, there's nobody out. You come on with bases loaded or some scenario like that. You've got to have the mindset to go out and, you know, put the fire out. And that's something that you learn along the way. Either you got it or you don't. And we'll find out about Rondon. I'm not writing him off completely. But is he ready to close right now? And that's what the Tigers had in mind. I don't think it's going to work out that way.
It's hard to believe, as cold as it is today, that in 2 weeks they'll be opening it at Minnesota. WJR's Steve Courtney on the other end of our line here at AM 870 WKAR. Steve, if we could switch the topic just for a second before we let you go. Fun talk in sports. I'm curious, too. You and I have known each other longer than we probably care to admit, but how do you think this business of radio has changed the most since, like, you and Halloran and I were cool and we knew it at DTX to... to, you know, where we are now with the tweets and the Facebook and getting the JR on your phone in San Diego. I just would love to know what a guy who's been in it his whole life thinks of where it is and where it's going.
Well, you know, Russ, we have known each other a very long time, and sad to say, you've gotten a lot older than me. But, you know, it's one of those deals where, you know, some things have changed, obviously, but one thing that hasn't changed is that is the information and the entertainment that comes out of the box. That's one thing that won't change. And remember when satellite radio came out, everybody predicted that would be the end-all to commercial radio as we knew it. Well, understand this. Americans will pay $1,000 a month for television. That's the difference between paying for TV and paying for radio. I think Americans in particular have made it known loud and clear. We're not going to pay for radio. No matter what programming these outlets, you know, offer, you know, they're not going to pay $20 a month to have radio. That being said, I think it's important that we who have made commercial radio our occupation understand the responsibility that comes along with it now more than ever. You know, 25 years ago, Russ, there weren't too many other options. And, you know, we were living, you know, fat and happy, as they say. There are other options right now. I mean, there is so much information available to the motorists, to those who listen to radio at home, that you really have to keep in mind the responsibility that goes along with this job each and every day. And, you know, when you've been doing it for 30-plus years, as I have, and others that I have the distinct pleasure of working with at WJR, you realize times have changed and that the audience has shrunk a little bit. But at the same time, it's important to note that, you know, it's still a great, great medium. And it's something that I don't think will ever go away. And you know what, fellas, there are those who are saying radio is dead and, you know, will be dead. But you know what? You know, there is still a place for quality programming, both from a content of those who put that programming on and for advertisers as well. I mean, you know, I know the great voice of the Great Lakes, 38 states and half of Canada. And, you know, it gives me goosebumps still every morning I walk into the Fisher Building. So, yeah, it has changed a little bit. You know, I'll be the first to tell you, I don't tweet. I don't have a Facebook. I don't have the time, and I don't understand how it works. But, you know, just last night on 60 Minutes, I forget the fellow's name, but it was a guy that invented Twitter, for crying out loud. And now he's got this device out where you slide your card to your iPhone, and, you know, you can, you know, if you're a small business owner, that's how you get paid. It's incredible where technology has gone. You know what, Kirk and Russ, if I told you 20 years ago that one day via your cell phone you'll be able to get emails and send pictures and, you know, take care of business like you had a portable laptop, you'd have looked at me like I'm absolutely crazy. Now, where's technology going to be 5 years from now? It's insane.
Steve, you know, my background is in education, and I've always appreciated and enjoyed how much you seem to love your job. I mean, you come to it with a lot of enthusiasm, a lot of humor, et cetera. But this is a campus radio station that has reach around. A lot of students and faculty listen to this. What would you say to young people who are interested in radio down the road as a career and preparing themselves for the future, given what you just said about all the technology, given what you said about the uncertainty of where things are going?
Well, Kirk, I'll tell you, you know, I'm not going to lie. Like I say, I've been in radio a long time. And the reason I stayed in it is I'm too lazy to work and too afraid to steal. It's, you know, sounds like a joke, but it's, you know, the honest to God's truth. But, you know, my daughter has shown an interest in broadcasting. And to be honest with you, when she first brought it up a few years ago, I kind of sat down and went through all the pros and cons. And the cons are a lot greater than they were when I got into it. Only because the landscaping has changed. But I'll tell you what, there is not a more fulfilling or rewarding career at the end of the day than being able to pass along information to those who want it. And that's something that is not going to change. But it is a business at the same time. as I've told many a student, as I've discussed this with, you know, various academic institutions around the area, it's a business that you'll get knocked out. I mean, I've been out of this business three or four times along the way, looking for something else to do. But much like golf, once you're bit, and you're going to go back into it. And Russ, you can attest to this,
being
in the industry for a while as well. It is a very fun deal. At times it can be very demanding. At times it can be very competitive. But it doesn't matter if it's broadcasting or law or name a profession. It is, and you'll get out of it whatever you put into it. And I think that's the bottom line. I don't want to scare anybody away. If you've always had dreams and aspirations of getting into broadcasting, then by all means pursue it. But it's just, you know, the thing is, I'm amazed at how many young people want to get involved in broadcasting only because they want to get into concerts free, they want to be famous, they want to make a name for themselves. Well, guess what? Times have changed. And, you know, if you're going to do it to become wealthy overnight, that's not happening. It's like anything else. You have to pay your dues. And, you know, I would think that after 30-plus years, I've paid a due or two. at the same time, not taking anything for granted ever.
That's right. That's right. Well, Steve Courtney, great talking with you about this medium we love and sports. And you can all listen to Steve Mornings with Paul W. on AM 760 and, of course, on the WJR tailgate shows that we get to work together on before the home football game. So, Steve, thanks a lot for joining us.
And that's another topic we could jump into. Spring football starting tomorrow in EL. And
that's right.
I know Coach D'Antonio's got expectations. And, you know, rough time flies. Kirk, we'll see you very soon. And before you know it, we're teeing it up there in East Lansing for another exciting Spartan football season.
That's right. Always a pleasure, Steve. Thank you so much.
Bye.
Thanks, Steve.
Bye, Russ. Bye, Kirk.
See you later. WJR Radio, Steve Courtney joining us here on AM 870 WKAR. He's Kirk Heinze. I'm Russ White, and we'll be back in a moment on AM 870.
My fellow citizens,
10 years ago, the opening rounds of the war in Iraq.
At this hour, American and coalition forces are in the early stages of military operations.
I'm Neil Conan. A decade after the invasion, what did we accomplish in Iraq? Next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
Talk of the Nation, 2 o'clock, right after our show on AM 870.
Thanks for joining us. I'm Scott Pohl, and here's the weather. Our high today, 37, with a good chance of light rain and snow, no more than an inch of new accumulation. Tonight, mostly cloudy and a chance of snow with a low of 25. Windy tomorrow, gusts up to 45 miles an hour. Partly sunny and maybe some snow, the high 31.
It's AM 870 WKAR in the Gary Reed Studios from Michigan State University. Kirk Heinze and Russ White, who do this thing together called Greening of the Great Lakes, honored to fill in while good old Gary looks for Earl's permanent replacement. So, Kirk?
Well, Earl's going to be tough to replace, but boy, what a pleasure to be sitting in for the week and just
this
talking sports.
Yeah, really appreciate this. Let's talk a little bit more, and we'd love you guys to join in. Anybody who wants to call in, say hello, talk some sports with us in the 517 code, of course, 355-WKAR. That's 355-9527. Toll free from a landline, 877-952-7870, which is 877-WKAR-870. Handy when you can remember it that way. Kirk, let me ask you, because you're such a Tigers fan, we'll talk plenty of hoops, but like we said, 2 weeks from today, your beloved Bengals start the season, one in which, correct me if I'm wrong, most people think if it's not the Angels and the Tigers and the ALCS, something went wrong. Maybe the Blue Jays. Is that what you're thinking?
Well, the Blue Jays really loaded up. I think most of the pundits are saying that they loaded up more than anybody. The Tigers certainly didn't hurt themselves by signing Sanchez. You know, I think the closer deal, as Steve Courtney said earlier, that's going to be huge for the Tigers. And, well, the bullpen set up like it did last year. You recall, I mean, the bullpen actually did a pretty decent job last year. Albuquerque came back after his injury and threw real well. But you never know with relief pitchers. Starting pitchers are much more predictable than relief pitchers.
Yeah. And Kirk, we hear about this guy Rondon, right? He's the closer. That's tell me more about Rondon and what are his issues as we try to replace Valverde.
Well, Rondon apparently throws between 90 and 97 with that fastball, so he's got a big arm. As you know, no major league experience. They're giving him every shot this spring. He started out in first two or three outings, he was pretty rocky. Now the last two or three, he's looked a lot better, but Leland's not making any predictions right now about closing. I mean, he's just basically keeping it on the down low. They'll make a decision. My hunch is that they'll start with closer by committee, maybe give Rondon a few seventh and eighth inning appearances, see if he merits the shot as the closer. But it's not going to happen right out of the gate.
It's Sports Talk on AM 870 WKAR. You can talk sports with Kirk and me at 517-355-9527, like Jim is doing. Jim, welcome to the program.
Yes, thank you. I was just curious. I don't follow basketball as closely as I should, probably, but at the start of the season, what were the predictions for the Big Ten? You know, who did they think was the top team? I guess it's, you know, it's kind of moot now as it's played out, but I'm curious as to what the expectations were of the around the league.
You mean the Big Ten or the whole tournament?
The Big Ten.
Oh, I think it all played out just about like we thought it would, right? I mean, and the committee guy said Indiana really was not going to lose their top seed. Don't you think the Big Ten shook out pretty much accurately, Kirk?
Yeah, as I recall, Indiana and Michigan were picked 1 and 2. I think maybe if there was a surprise, Spartans were picked 4th or 5th, sort of middle of the pack. Ohio State was right in there. But the clear favorites were Michigan and Indiana beginning the season. Indiana has pretty much stayed there. You can argue that Michigan slipped a little bit, but and I think the team that came out of nowhere was Wisconsin.
Well, and I think any team that can win at Chrysler Center and at Breslin Center like Indiana did probably deserves a number one seed. And I guess, Jim, the strength of the Big Ten might be shown more at the bottom, where Illinois and Minnesota, I think, both had losing conference records and were shoe-ins. So that's how tough the league was this year.
Okay, I just was curious what the expectations were around the, because we, you know, a lot of times we measure, we kind of forget about all that preseason hype and so forth. And I was just curious, looking back, I remember seeing a magazine out of the bookstore that had, cover all about Michigan, and I don't follow it that closely. And I was just wondering if that was just that one magazine, or if there was other people had hype like you pointed out. Thanks a lot.
All right, thank you, Jim. And let's go to the hometown of Draymond Green, to Saginaw, and Michael is on line two. What's up, Michael?
How you doing? I just want to know, since you guys was talking baseball with your previous guests, did you watch any of the baseball classics?
I watched a little more than I thought I was going to and enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is kind of interesting just to see how the other countries even celebrate baseball more than our country does, because our country is so huge and everything, and I don't think we could get behind. We claim we number one in that, and we've been in the sport and everything, but those other countries seem like they kind of have a freedom, and they enjoy the sport for what it is than us. I seem like we so tight-laced and about our sports and everything.
Well, I'm guessing they are bumming big time in Japan today, because they were the winner of the first two of these, and Puerto Rico beat them yesterday. I think Japan is in a bad mood today, I bet.
Yeah, Michael, what do you think about baseball now being played all over the world? You know, Australia, New Zealand, Japan, of course, in the Caribbean. I mean, what do you think about that?
I think that's great. I really do, because I think by being an international sport, that baseball can grow their brand and everything. It's not just exclusive to Americans. Any time to grow your sport is internationally is great for the sport. And it's a win-win situation for Major League Baseball, also for you baseball.
Well, that's right.
Yes, it really is. I love what baseball has done, because baseball has updated all their facilities, all their ballparks now. You don't really have no real old ballparks. You got more conveniences than ever, and they cater to their fan bases more. But the reason why that's a good question to ask, because I'm in my 50s, so it's a generational thing. I just worried about the generations that 10 or 15 decade now with this, the younger generation feel like I do about baseball.
Well, I think they do. Yeah, I think baseball is kind of coming back, don't you think, Kirk?
Yeah, I think so. Although in cities like Detroit, and Michael, you can speak to this in Saginaw, I mean, there's so much for kids to do these days. What's the situation in Saginaw, youth leagues and that type of thing?
Michael's left us, I think, but it's Sports Talk on AM 870 WKAR. Join in at 517-355-9527. 355-9527. We'd love to know what you're thinking about the Tigers or the tournament or something else. So, Kirk, have you filled out your bracket? You got any big surprises? Or?
Oh, no, I've got to look at it. I just printed it last night, like most people in America, and I got to start thinking about it a little bit. You know, Russ, let's switch over. I think we should say something about the success of the hockey team during the tournament.
Good point.
Now that, I mean, what a run they made all the way up to Alaska and the time changes and 2 out of 3 there, and then they had to go play the number one seeds down in Ohio. I mean, it was not an easy course. Probably played their best hockey of the season at the end of the season.
That's right. They looked really good, and I think the future is bright for Spartan hockey.
Yeah, goaltending and defense pretty strong this year for the most part. They just had a lot of problem putting that biscuit in the net.
That's right. AM 870 WKAR. Give us a ring and talk sports. 355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. I got another question about the Tigers, and they talk about Victor Martinez, and he's a clubhouse guy, and he's a great chemistry guy. What is he going to bring on the field? Because I can't remember, he's been hurt so long. What kind of a player is he, and what does he bring to the clubhouse?
Well, he brings you a little bit of home run power, particularly when he's batting on the right side of the plate or the left side of the plate. He's going to protect fielder in that 5-hole, I think, a little bit better than Delman Young did. Martinez is a big RBI guy. I mean, he hits in the clutch. He can hit singles. He hits doubles. He hits to all fields. He's got the switch hitting. So, you know, against right-handers or left-handers, he's going to be dangerous, although most of his power, again, is from the left side of the plate. But I think that clubhouse presence, I mean, he was the guy that a lot of them talked about three years ago, was really the leader in the clubhouse. And Cabrera, frankly, and Fielder and some of those other guys. I think Torrey Hunter is going to bring some leadership to the Tigers. Always loved his game. He plays with a lot of passion. He hits the ball, hits for average, .290 last year, knocks in runs, plays a pretty good outfield. So he's got the leadership capability. And I think Victor Martinez back. It's going to give that clubhouse a little more of an edge, perhaps, than they had last year.
So is Jim Leland's lineup pretty much set? Or is he still tweaking at all?
I think it's pretty well set right now.
So take me through 2 weeks from today in Minnesota, just roughly 1 through 9, what do you think the batting order would be then?
Well, of course, you got Austin Jackson leading off, and Austin had a nice year last year. There's no reason to think he's not going to do. He might steal a few more bases this year. Torrey Hunter batting second, Cabrera in the 3rd hole. Then you got Fielder in the 4th hole. I mean, just think of this.
Impressive.
It's like a litany of Hall of Famers or something, for example. Martinez in the 5th hole, then batting 6th. He might have Avila in that 6th hole. Followed by Infante and Dierks, I'm forgetting somebody here. But, I mean, that's going to be a pretty formidable lineup. Dierks may rotate in the outfield. There's some talk that Kelly may be on the team, so he'll get some playing time.
Well, Steve touched on Porcello. Do you think he's here in 2 weeks? Or?
Yeah, you know, my thing, we've talked about Porcello. Porcello drives me crazy. He develops one more pitch, and he goes from a decent pitcher to a very good pitcher.
It's AM 870 WKAR, whose strong signal is booming down to Fort Wayne, where Ray is going to join us to talk about the tournament. Hello, Ray. Good afternoon.
Hey, my friend. How you doing?
We're great. What's up?
I was so happy. My whole weekend was May Friday when the Badgers beat up on the Bullies. Only one more loss, and they're all done. It'll be a mediocre another football season, another mediocre basketball season. It's nice to see the rich, arrogant, prideful people getting humbled a little bit.
So you enjoy. What did you think about the Big Ten tournament in general?
Well, I look at Indiana, and I've seen them, even when they lucked out and beat Michigan, I didn't think they played very good. They turned the ball over way too much. I don't see Indiana, unless they cut their turnovers off, I don't see them getting very far.
And I thought Kraft just killed us again.
Yeah, that kid, doesn't that kid come to play? I mean, he just, all 40 minutes out of Kraft, you get it all.
I mean, the Big Ten is so tough. Like I said, I don't, wouldn't be surprised if every one of them makes it to the Sweet 16.
There's 15 or 20 teams could win the tournament this year. This is the most open I've ever seen it.
Now watch, this will be the year that all four number one seeds make it when everybody's predicting upsets. But you never know.
You never know. You're right. If you look back on NFL football or hockey or any of this stuff, it's a team that gets hot. I mean, you can lose three or four and still get hot in the tournament. You never know who's going to be the one to get hot.
And I'll bet you MSU alumnus Tom Gores, who owns the Pistons and the Palace, is going to like the cash register ringing Thursday when that place is overflowing with Spartans and then Wolverines later.
Let me ask you something. The Spartans are playing in the Auburn, so is Michigan.
Yeah, right.
Are those the same days or Thursday?
Same day, the Spartans play a little after noon at 12:15. I think Michigan plays at 7:15. Same day, different regions. They won't meet there.
Yeah, what do they do? Do they clean the arena out for each game or what?
Oh, I think there's two sessions. I think there's an afternoon and an evening session.
Whoever pays to get in, you get a doubleheader.
Oh, yeah. I think it's reasonable and you can get in.
And then they clean the arena out for the other doubleheader.
Yeah, right.
Okay. That's what I was wondering how they were going to make the money. I didn't think they would do it up for every game, but you never know the way the world gouges people anymore.
That's right. Well, Kirk, did you like Louisville at the number one overall seed? I don't have a problem with that. They had that little skid mid-season, but they were pretty dominant.
I watched Louisville play in the Big East tournament, and they were impressive. They have a lot of speed, and they shoot the three. They can work it inside. It's a typical Rick Pitino team, a lot of athleticism. This team seems to be a little bit more disciplined in some ways than that team back in 2009 that the Spartans took up down in Indy.
Well, Kirk, let's take a break, and we'd like to invite people to come in, and here's what I'm going to ask you when we get back is, what are the keys now to the Spartans? What do we have to do? Whatever we know about Valpo, but just in general now, it's tournament time. So call us with what you think at 355-9527 in the 517 area code, 355-WKAR. Back in a moment.
On the next Fresh Air, parenting a baby doomed to die soon. We talk with Emily Rapp. Her new memoir is about her son, who at the age of 9 months was diagnosed with Tay-Sachs disease, a genetic disorder which leads to dementia, seizures, spasticity, blindness, paralysis, and eventually death. He died last month before reaching his third birthday. Join us.
Fresh Air coming up at 3 p.m. here on AM 870 WKAR Radio.
There's a good chance of light rain and snow today, no more than an inch of new accumulation. The high, 37. Tonight, a low of 25 and mostly cloudy with a chance of some snow. Windy tomorrow, partly sunny with a chance of snow. Tuesday's high, 31 and winds gusting to 45 miles an hour. I'm Scott Pohl.
AM 870 WKAR, I'm Russ White, he's Kirk Heinze. We work together on something called Greening of the Great Lakes, and Gary Reed has left us the keys and Aaron Young to watch over us. We're talking sports, and we'd love to have you join us at 355-9527, 355-WKAR. All right, Kirk, what are the keys for Izzo's soldiers as the tournament gets underway?
Well, I was always thinking about it during the break, Russ. You know, there are three keys in my mind. It's the first one is Appling, the second is Appling, and the third is Appling. the point guards are crucial in the tournament, as you know.
Yeah.
They got to get good play out of others as well. But Appling seems to have emerged from a funk last three or four games. He's dropping some threes. He's looking better. He's got to keep the discipline in the last 2 minutes. But I do think that Appling is definitely the key to the Spartans run. If he plays well and the rest of them give what they can give. What do you think, man?
And Trice and Valentine give you some nice minutes there, too, when
absolutely
they need to fill in. I think they're both, Trice is rounding into form just when we need him. And what can you say about Payne and Harris? You know, Nix is really coming to play, and even, you know, the bench is coming on. I think we're going to need everybody. Everybody can say this, every team, but we can beat anybody if we're playing well, and if the turnovers have to stay down, of course, Tom would say.
Russ, in your mind, what have been the biggest surprises for this season? You mentioned a lot of players there, but in your mind, what emerged?
Well, it's hard to say. I didn't know Gary Harris would be this good. I didn't know Payne would come on like he has, and I think a lot of the role players have just gelled more than we thought. Maybe it's just that we didn't really know them that well. But, you know, to be right in the thick of a tough Big Ten is saying a lot. You know, the league was as tough as it's ever been. So it's typical Tom Izzo, I guess.
You know, I really like this team more than even some teams that made it to the Final Four. Maybe this team will. We don't know yet, but this is a tough team. This team does remind me a little bit of back in when we had the Flintstones and some of that toughness. They bored. They weren't out of any games this year. They hung with everybody, and they showed a lot of grit.
You're right. Tom said that, and it's 355-9527. We'd love to know what your keys to Spartan victory are. I forgot what I was going to say about the bench, but the whole team has just gelled, I think, mm-hmm. and it's just typical at tournament time. But don't you think what I was saying before, these Big Ten teams have been beating up on each other, and now I think they get to exhale a little. People, every year they seem to do it, they forget. These teams look around the country, oh, they only score 50 points in those Big Ten games. They must not be able to score. And then we come out and run them up and down the court, you know. So it's going to be, to me, I think, fun to watch all these Big Ten teams spread their wings a little bit.
Well, Izzo's a funny guy. I mean, some of his one-liners, but he said, you know, he's so sick of playing the Big Ten, he'd rather play the Lakers. And, you know, just to say that, but he makes a point, obviously, that, I mean, Wisconsin, Ohio State, Michigan, back-to-back-to-back, every game a grind, every game just physical. And every game close. I mean, it got to wear on your mind. I think it was Beilein said something, too, about how exhausted he was. And Thad Matta after the Big Ten season.
Man.
Then they got to go right into the tournament, man.
That is amazing, I know. AM 870 WKAR at Sports Talk with Kirk Heinze and Russ White. Please call in 355-9527. What's on your mind or what are your keys to Spartan victory? And it'll be a wild day Thursday at the Palace of Auburn Hills. Maybe we should try to get a hold of like their PR person and find out how they're preparing for. Should be a pretty cool day there, kind of unique.
Yeah, and you know the Spartans used to play a game or two at Auburn
That's
Hills
right.
every year. You know, I don't think they've done that recently, but the fact that it's so close to home, there's just something. And you know, the throwback to 2000. When we were there, and things went so well. Actually, in 2000, that regional at Auburn Hills was basically the Final Four.
Yeah, that's right.
Those were UCLA was the other team in that, and those were four tough basketball teams.
That's right. Coming from way back, I think we got actually to 17 down with Syracuse right after halftime, and then roared back on that one.
Syracuse could not miss, and all of a sudden they went cold, and the Spartans got hot, and Mateen was feeding that ball to Granger and feeding that ball to Mo Pete, and we were just dropping threes. It was amazing.
And then, of course, Mo Pete's jam there that kind of
sealed
the
deal.
The game there.
You remember that Iowa State game, though, and their coach got kicked out with about a minute and a half to go, and that seemed to take the air out of the balloon for Iowa State because that was nip and tuck up until then.
Wasn't that Larry Eustace or
yes.
someone? Was it USC for a cup of coffee, maybe?
Same guy.
Iowa State,
yeah. You imagine that getting tossed out of a regional final, man, with 2 minutes to go?
Oh,
I would say that's losing your cool.
That's right. Oh. Well, go ahead, Kirk.
Well, you know, again, thinking, I mean, I know hoops is on everybody's mind, but spring practice for the football team starting tomorrow. Steve Courtney mentioned that earlier.
That's right.
What do you think of the prospects for the football team next year? A little bit of a disappointing season last year, I think we would all agree. What about next year?
Well, they certainly lost three good players to the pros, but, you know, I'm sure there are people who can step in, and I don't know if there will be competition at quarterback or not or how that'll go, but this is when you find out, and I guess this is when those bowl practices come in handy, right? Because you already got a good look at everybody, and then they played well.
They played well in the bowl game.
Particularly the second half. So, I mean, the Big Ten doesn't get any easier ever.
No. No, Ohio State's going to be tough. Michigan's going to be tough. Wisconsin's always tough. But, you know, you and I have been Spartan fans for a long, long time, and D'Antonio and his crew really, I think, have brought some stability to this program that we haven't seen in a long, long time. The Spartans are going to be competitive every year. Yeah. We know that.
That's true. Well, you were bringing up Spartan baseball before. What is sort of the state of the program as you know it, and how are they doing? Are they playing outside here yet?
No, I think they're still out in California, although they may have come back this year. Now, they have indoor practice facilities that they use. The big problem this year, they lost most of their infield. Two or three of those guys went to the pros, including Ryan Jones from Haslett, Michigan. So they've rebuilt their infield, essentially. Good pitching staff, pretty strong in the outfield. Big question mark is, are they going to have an infield that's defensively strong? And can these guys hit the ball like those guys hit it last year?
Yeah.
We'll see.
That's right.
Boss has really turned things around with that baseball program.
And, you know, let me jump back to the majors for a minute, too. So just give me your – wait, there's five playoff teams now, isn't there? I was going to say, well, give me your division winners in each league.
Oh, man, you're making it tough, Russ. I think the Tigers, for sure. I don't see any team in that division coming close. Some people are touting the Indians, but I just don't see that. Toronto is probably – I don't see Boston. I don't see the Yankees with all the injuries, so it's looking like Toronto. You got to like the Angels.
Right.
I mean, how do you not like the Angels?
Right, right.
And, and then there are the two other teams who might slip in. Well, you can't discount Texas maybe Tampa. Maybe those are your five teams.
Yeah.
Could there be a surprise emerge? What would the surprise team be? Man, I just don't. I don't see another team making a move.
Yep. AM 870 WKAR. I'm Russ White. He's Kirk Heinze. We're hosting Sports Talk from 1 to 2 p.m. this whole week. Let's talk a little bit about some of our favorite people coming up this week. Tomorrow we're expecting a voice that everybody listening to this station knows. Dan Gagne is a Monroe, Michigan native, MSU Honors alum, and he's a
big
of
Tiger
course,
fan.
You hear him
here
on NPR forever. He's also a monstrous Tiger fan like Kirk here.
Love
we're going to talk a little Tigers with Don, and also tomorrow the Grand Poobah of WKAR, Gary Reed, will be in, as will Scott Meyer, who's the Midwest Regional Vice President for Cumulus Media, which owns several stations around this market in WJR in Detroit. That's why we work together. We're going to talk a little bit about this medium we're on now, Sports Talk Radio. Where is it? Where it's going? What's Gary doing to fill Earl's spot, get you guys updated on that. Wednesday, old friend Dan Dickerson, of course, who's the radio play-by-play man for the Tigers, will help us with some of these issues we've been talking about later in the week, too. Your friend Jim Robinson?
Good chance of the president of Farm Bureau Insurance. We're working on getting him. He's a huge sports fan. But why does an insurance company spend so much in terms of support, not only for Michigan State University and collegiate athletics, but all the support that Farm Bureau extends for high school basketball, prep sports as well?
That's right. And later on Friday, Jim Pignatero, who leads Michigan State's acclaimed student athlete support service area, they've got a new initiative they're going to talk about. I think they're partnering with the business school for some kind of a leadership thing with the coaches. I just know a little bit enough to be dangerous. Let's not forget the other two guests on Wednesday. I forgot. MUCC Aaron McDonough will be here to talk about something. And our old buddy Bill Emko,
who's
actually a partner with us on Greening of the Great Lakes, the MLive.com/environment. Bill will be in. He's an MSU J school grad who's kind of one of the first people I ever heard to talk about SEO and search engine optimization way back. And MLive is really on the cutting edge. He'll sort of talk about their online sports strategy and that kind of a thing. So what are your impressions of those folks?
Oh, they're all the thing about these folks, man, not only do they bring their professional expertise and innovation and all those things to the table, but they're all passionate sports fans.
That's right.
Most appropriate for this show. It's amazing how many sports fans are out there.
Yeah, and I was talking with Don Gagne. He was here about 2 weeks ago working on a story, and if a couple of you caught him, he guest-hosted Weekend Morning Edition for Scott Simon a couple Saturdays ago, and he had come across this tape, cassette tape from 1981 when he had interviewed one of his heroes, Johnny Cash, at the Monroe County Fair, I think it was, and somehow he found
it. We walked the line, don't we?
And they played it, and it was great radio to have an old tape like that, and it, of course, went viral, and went crazy. So maybe we'll have Don retell that tomorrow. I don't know.
Hey, Russ, you're being a little modest, too. I mean, you're pretty good with the social media, et cetera. Talk a little bit. I mean, you just did a thing with Kirk Cousins up in Grand Rapids that got a lot of visibility.
That was fun. We did a video with him talking about giving back to MSU, and he was visiting some kids at the Children's Hospital in Grand Rapids. And, you know, why don't we take a minute, too, at 155, almost 156 on WKAR, Greening of the Great Lakes, our show that we work together on. We did win a Michigan Association of Broadcasters Broadcast Excellence Award for our use of new media. Not bad.
Not bad at all, Russ, and kudos to you. We're all over the place on Greening of the Great Lakes. And
I think you have to be, as Aaron knows, at the impact. If you got to just blast people from every angle. And people consume you in different ways now. There are people that hear us on the radio that don't own computers and people that only hear our shows on the MLive blog that never hear us on the radio. So I think these days you got to serve everybody to... You'd hope to get noticed. But that was kind of cool. And that MLive.com link is really what makes the partnership go. So it's fun to work on that 4.5 years now.
Yeah, Bill Emko, I mean, he is just absolutely, he's been a great partner, as has WJR. But, you know, a lot of our stuff, as you know, is airing on WKAR, and we're multi-purpose.
Multi-purpose and on-demand, those are the words. And it's our buddy Gary Reed who always said content is king, and it is. Just, you know, you got to, I think, get it everywhere so most people can consume it.
Well, you know, and this sustainability thing, Russ, also extends into the sporting world. One of the things we've been amazed about, everywhere you look, people are talking sustainability in hospital emergency rooms, yeah. Interior design, building construction, et cetera. Well, this also pervades sports. Mark Hollis told us in an interview that a lot of the Spartan athletes are involved in recycling, in alternative energy issues, all of those things.
That's right.
And the athletic program. I mean, you save money doing these things.
How many businesses have we talked to? Really, if designers and engineers and architects aren't walking the green walk, they don't even get in the discussion.
Right.
We've heard that from Wallbridge and some big companies that there's no... The green is for real, and it's partly because it makes people money, which is what you got to keep telling people. When it's good for the environment and good for business...
Well, that was the real tipping point for the whole environmental thing. When sustainability became good for business in addition to the environment, it's always been good for the social and cultural side of things. But that was the tipping point, and every company we talked to virtually, I mean, everything from Ford and Chrysler, you know, to small businesses like a local meat market using LED lighting, it's everywhere.
That's right. And greeningofthegreatlakes.com is where you could go, or mlive.com/environment. So what's your next bracket? You got it filled out yet, or are you still working on it?
Well, I'm a homer. I think for the Spartans, I think whoever gets out of this Midwest region may be a favorite in the Final Four. It is so strong. And I think whoever wins this regional is going to have to be, but we're going to probably have to go through Duke and Louisville.
Yeah.
We've played them before. Izzo, you know what Izzo always said, though, Russ? I mean, you got to play him at some point or another. Whether you play him early or play him late, you got to play him.
Yeah. Do we know anything about Valpo, I guess, is the question.
I don't know too much about Valpo other than we played him in 2000. We beat him. Apparently they got some guys that can drop some threes. And I don't know beyond that, man. With Izzo, got to look at the film.
Threes are going in, yeah. Well, it's been a pleasure sitting in on Sports Talk 870 today. I'm Russ White.
I'm Kirk Heinze.
And Aaron Young, we appreciate your help. We'll be back all week. And again, tomorrow we're expecting Don Gagne on the phone. We'll have Gary Reed and Scott Meyer in here talking about sports radio. Write the number down to join us tomorrow, 517-355-9527. That's 517-355-WKAR. We'd love to hear what you think all week about the tournament, the Tigers. We didn't even get to Reggie Bush and what maybe the Lions will finally purr, Kirk.
Yeah, I guess we'll have to say something about the Lions, but in the meantime, go green.
Happy Monday. Thank you, Aaron.
This is Sports Talk from AM 870 WKAR.